Blog Talk Radio.
If you clap loud enough, he may sing just a few, just a little bit.
Just please us with your lyrical thesis. We just chillin', milk 'em, top billin', silkin', pure linen, vegan, little seeds, Malibu sea breeze, Dawn peas, palm trees, cats named Pablo, and milked out Diablo. The williest, what? I be the silliest. The more I the smaller the filly gets. Room 112, where the players dwell, and stash more cash than Bert Fidel. Inhale, make you feel good like Tony. Pick up in your middle like Moni. Yeah. She don't know me, but she's setting up.
Yeah.
Try to style sliding off with a homie.
Yeah.
Escada Don Gata, player, face clergy, game show, they call it version.
Oh, I need to know where we stand. Do we share the special things or love? I know I do. What about you? I just can't.
This is Talking Sports Plus, and I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and we have an awesome format planned for you tonight, and we want you to be a part of it. Now, the main purpose and our brand is we are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we focus on historical black colleges and universities, the high school, middle school athletics, and we just try to give you as much information. Not only that we stay in that particular area, we look at some of the hottest topics that happened during the week, over the weekend, and we want to share our thoughts on it. Now, my team that joins me, and will be coming slowly. I had one of the members just text me and say they're not feeling well, so they're not going to be with us. However, the rest of the team, as soon as they get an opportunity, they can call in and be by remote, wherever they may be, and offer their expertise in regard. Now, the call-in number for the show is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link and you can check it out by internet, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Productions. So we look forward to having an awesome time tonight. I'm looking over across all of my technology just giving me messages and notes and everything, and I do appreciate everybody want to share some things, but I want you to be a part of it. Again, let me give you that call-in number and give you the direction that goes along with you call in. Now, if you just want to call in and listen to the show, we have 50 slots available, and the call-in number is 347 857-419-4192. Then you press 1, and I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone. If you are now live, then give us your name, location, as well as your comments, questions, or expertise. Now, on the web link, you can just listen to the show, go back, go through Blog Talk Radio. You can follow along with us as we move forward with our show, and then you can go back and check it out later on. Now, one important thing we want to share with each and every one of y'all, we have listeners in 16 countries, and we're so proud to have those listeners, and that's all over the world. And we're so excited to have them taking time to check out the Smith Way production. We have several shows. We have Talking Sports Plus. We have a preview show, and we have this primetime show on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, once a month, in regards to the fourth Thursday, which we're moving into tomorrow due to Thanksgiving, we have the Ministry Shannon Show. And every other Friday, we have the Balling with the Doc. So you can check us out at 2:30. Now, the show for tomorrow night is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Then on Monday, we have Talking Real to You. Every other Monday, we have that show. And we have a preview show at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Then we have a primetime show at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. You know, Eastern Time Zone, you know, that's 8 as well as 9. So check us out. We look forward to having you in on Tuesday, which we are moving the show due to the holidays. Our Tuesday show, which is our week to have it, we're going to move it up to Monday. And we're going to have an awesome time on Monday because what we're going to do is we're going to share some thoughts in regards to it's called a Dr. Low Show. It's a relationship show. We have a guest. We have a special guest on here going to be Monday. I'm sorry. It will be Monday. I'm sorry. At 7 o'clock. And it's Nicole Sharon Brown. She has written 11 books. And she's going to come and share some thoughts about her books and love. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about a couple of things. So we look forward. I had an opportunity to get a copy of the book she's going to share with us. And it's awesome. And she's going to share her thoughts. You can call in and be a part of it as well. All right, now, but tonight we're talking about sports. Now, that team that joins me as they slowly come in, let me give you the names of them. Out of North Alabama, and he called and texted me and said he won't be on tonight, and that's Coach Tremaine King Edwards. He's the king of our show, and we're so proud to have him on there. But he's not feeling well, and he let us know that he wasn't going to be able to be here. Next, we have our resident high school expert. That is Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. He'll be with us around about 8:30 or so, share some things about high schools. Then we have our millennium. She's a lady of the hour. Now, she's coaching, and I'm so proud she's out. She's now taking on the title of being Coach Smith. I had to pass the torch to her. That's my daughter. And that's Coach Lauren D. Smith, and she's coaching middle school basketball. They played last night, and they're practicing tonight. They have to have 3 teams to try to fit in that gym to practice. So she may not join us, but she's out working. She's not a lot of gathering around. She out there trying to make things happen. She's trying to make it do what it do. Then the next one leaning in that joint, that's Cameron Gilbert. He's over there at Trinity coaching as well. He's a technology person. And we thank Cameron for joining us. And he has another. He's coaching. So we have individuals doing a lot of things. Everybody that's on here have some expertise in the area of coaching or expertise in broadcasting. That comes for me to introduce the last young man. Lashmont, young man and co-host with me, is our radio personality. He's the conductor of the train, the E-Train. He travels from Fort Walton Beach up to Montgomery, from Montgomery to Troy, down to Dothan, then to Op, Alabama, where he serves as a town councilman. None other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. So those are my co-hosts, and they'll call in slowly. And if not, you'll have the opportunity to just look at me and listen to me tonight, which I have no problem. Again, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 to identify you. The last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and say you're live. And just give your name, location, and what's your comments, question, or expertise. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can go to Talking Sports Plus with the number 1. You have at Tremaine Edwards, the number 7. Even though they're not on the show, you can tweet them and share your thoughts. And they'll send it to me or send it to the main Talking Sports Plus with the number 1. And they'll let me know, or even send it to our email and let us know you're trying to contact it. You have at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number 1, and at Coach with a K, underscore L, underscore Smith. Those are the Twitter accounts for our co-host, and they, you can tweet them and share your thoughts. Even though they might not be on the line tonight, they may not be able to get here, but they can share the thoughts with me because they'll shoot it to me while I'm here talking to you. So, again, we have an exciting format for you tonight. Today is Wonderful Wednesday, hot day, and I do pray that you had an awesome day, and at this point, you're having a truly blessed night. So we want to make sure you just tune in, and I see several people on Facebook join us as well on Blog Talk Radio, and I thank you so much. It was a blessing. You know, when the vision was given to me in 2017, August the 27th, 2017, the vision was given to me, and I was in South Florida, down there on several of the networks, working with several people, helping them out, informing, and learning the craft. And God said, I want you to do this. So take the vessels that I'm about, this vessel and this vision I'm about to give to you, and take those technology, take all of these things and get the word out about historical black colleges and universities. You love sports. You coach over 30-some years. So you got a chance to share this, and I'm so glad God blessed me to be able to do that. So we're heard in 16 countries, including the United States. We're not excited, but ecstatic to have this opportunity. Now, I want you to make sure you join us now. Just make sure you check out our call-in number and share it several times, and I'll do it again because it's important, 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of the show, press 1. I'll make you live by giving and telling you that your number has been called up the last 4 days to sell a telephone number and ask you to give you comments and questions. All right, let's look at the title of the show, Football Playoff Mayhem. And this is what's going on. It's time to make decisions. Some championships have already been decided, especially in some of our historical black colleges and universities. I'm looking at one of my co-hosts saying that he'll be tuning in for the high school section. So he's going to be calling in. We look forward. We're going to make this thing do what it do. It's exciting to be able to come before you and give you some historical black colleges and universities and see what the playoff picture look like among those four conferences. There are four conferences that make up the historical black colleges and universities. We try to spotlight them because that's our brand. Start off with the Southwest Athletic Conference, known to a lot of people as the SWAC. Recap last week. You had an outstanding game played last week between Alabama A&M and Alcorn State. Alcorn beat Alabama State. It was a hard-fought game, 34-28, and the winner clinched the first place of the Eastern Division of the SWAC. So that team will be, in essence, hosting the Alcorn will be hosting the playoff or hosting the championship game over there in Lorman, Mississippi, because they beat Southern and beat everybody. They did lose one game. They lost to Grambling, but they beat everybody. And even if Grambling win the game next Saturday, which is the Bayou Classic down in New Orleans, they still will have to go to Alcorn because they lost to Alcorn. Southern win the game, they still have to go to Alcorn, and they'll be working toward repeating back-to-back championship in Alcorn, Mississippi. So it was an outstanding game. We're going to give a shout-out to Bentley, the running back. He for Alabama A&M had over 276 yards rushing, and that's awesome. In a ball game. He's a senior, so he's being spotlighted from Alabama A&M. And again, the final score was 34-28. We said congratulations to Alcorn for winning the Eastern Division, also putting himself in the position to win the overall title through the regular season. So they have clinched the hosting of the playoff at their home in their stadium, Lorman, Mississippi. So we look forward to see how exciting that's going to be. The game won't be played to the December the 7th, which is they take a week off because you have teams playing next week. On next Thursday, you have the Turkey Day Classic between Alabama State University, which is their homecoming, and Prairie View University. So we look forward to having an outstanding game. That game is set for either 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock next Thursday for Thanksgiving, and it'll be broadcast live, but it'll be through internet. Then later on, it'll be shown at later night at about 10 o'clock on ESPNU. So check that out on next week, as well as the Bayou Classic will be live at 2 o'clock. So it's outstanding in the SWAC. I'm going to run off the standings for both the West as well as the East. In the West, you have Southern have a conference record of 5-1, 7-4 overall. You have Grambling with a 4-2 conference record, 6-4 overall. Prairie View with a 3-3 record, who Alabama State will be taking on, and a 5-5 overall record. University of Arkansas Pine Bluff has a 2-4 record, 5-5, and you have Texas Southern University with an 0-6 record, 0-10 overall. So they failed a total of 7 conference games that counts toward going to the championship. So that's the West. So at this point, you got Southern 5-1 going to be taking on Grambling 4-2, and it's going to decide the marbles. I know they got some games this weekend, but that's going to be the big one in Louisiana, New Orleans, in the Bayou Classic to decide the West. The East has already been decided. Called Alcorn is 5-1. They're taking on Jackson State this weekend. However, Jackson State has 3 losses, so it doesn't matter really what happened. And most likely, I'll tell you like this, a lot of times Alcorn wouldn't play all their starters. They'll save them up and rest them up. But they can't really afford to do that, because even though they 5-1 and Southern is 5-1 and they beat Southern, if they lose, they'll be 5-2. So then that means they go on a roll for the championship game. They don't want to do that. So you have Alcorn standing again at 5-1, 7-3 overall. Alabama State University conference records 4-2, 5-5 overall. They played last weekend. They played down in Tallahassee, lost to Florida State in the money game, 49-7. So that was not a successful run in regards to the game, but check was successful. So Alabama State did play in Tallahassee last weekend. As you know, the weekend before, they fired their coach down at Florida State. Well, two weekends before, they bought him out. Willie Taggart was bought out, $20 million. Oh, that's a good payday right there. So now he can find him another job, and probably work the deal out there. If somebody else paid him $1 million, $2 million, they'll take that off the money that they paid. But he made $20 million. He was fired as a coach of Florida State. And Coach Hager is down there, one of the former players down there. Hagler is down there coaching them, and they have won 2 games since then. Also, you have Mississippi Valley. They stand at 1-5 and 2-8 in the Eastern Division. So you have Alcorn winning the East. It'll be hosting at this point. If they win this weekend against Jackson State, they'll be hosting. If they don't win, then it'll be depending on what the results will be from Southern and Grambling. So it's going to be outstanding. Also, Alabama A&M will be taking on Mississippi Valley up there in Huntsville. That's a 1 o'clock start. So go check them out up there. If you're in that area, put your meat in the seat. Check out some SWAC football, some historical black colleges and university football this weekend. The MEAC, the standings is, they have 10 games, 10 teams in order 1 through 10. And the first place team in the MEAC, which is a Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, is North Carolina A&T. They stand, their conference record is 5-2, 7-3 overall. Second place, you have South Carolina State, who's 7-3 and 5-2 conference record. So the decision will be made in this coming weekend who will win the conference outright, whether it's going to be North Carolina A&T or South Carolina State A&T. Bethune-Cookman, 6-4, overall record 4-3. Conference record, and they'll be taking on Florida A&M University down in the Florida Classic down in Orlando this weekend. That pageantry is awesome. So if you can get down there, Orlando, you know what's down there, Disney World, you can enjoy yourself, but you'll have a chance to see some black college football at its best down in Orlando this weekend in a 2 o'clock kickoff. Now, FAMU has the best record in the MEAC. However, since they're ineligible for postseason or conference championship, their record stands now at 9-1 and 7-0 in the conference. They haven't lost anybody in the conference. However, they cannot compete for the championship. So the decision will be made this weekend pretty much on how it turns out, because North Carolina State actually beat South Carolina State, but they still have one more game to go. So we'll see how it turns out. FAMU actually can stay in one the regular season because they have the best record, but they're not eligible for postseason or the conference championship. So it looks like it'll be North Carolina A&T and South Carolina State will be playing up at North Carolina A&T. So that looks like an awesome game this weekend. So we look forward to talking more about the MEAC as well as the SWAC. They are the FCS football championship subdivision, Division One, but they what they call used to call 1AA. Now they're just FCS, so they play in the big boys of the Power Five or Group of Five. It's the FBS, the Football Bowl subdivision. All right, let's move down to championship games played in our Division II level of the historical black colleges and universities. That's SIAC, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. You had a awesome ball game between Miles and Albany State over at Albany State. Miles was able to beat Albany State in a hard-fought game, exciting, to win the 2019 SIAC championship this past Saturday. So that makes Miles back-to-back because he won it last year up in Birmingham because the eastern part, the western part of the division hosted last year. And that was Miles, who was a regular western champion. So we applaud them. So they even received a bid to go to the NCAA Division II football championship playoff. Miles will be traveling to Lenoir Rhyne on Saturday. I'll shout out to the Miles colleges, Go Bears. Go and make sure you make something happen up there this Saturday in Lenoir Rhyne. Also in the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, you had Bowie State beating Fayetteville State to win the 2019 CIAA football championship. So Bowie State in the season 11-0. They earned their third consecutive NCAA Division II playoff berth. They'll be hosting Carson Newman, which is 8-2 in the first round of this playoff on Saturday. So that's black college football. We're excited to have an opportunity to talk about black college football. That's what we want to get the information out. When you don't hear it from the pundits and talking heads, you will hear it from us, and we're going to focus on the historical black college and university. Let's move to our coach's corner because Saturday it was a great opportunity to see how the NFL work and see how they deal with complicated situations. Situation was complicated, and it's dealing with Colin Kaepernick. And on Saturday, they had set up a workout, and we know both groups were not being honest, was not being truthful. A lot of things came out. However, it was set up for to be in Atlanta at 3 o'clock, and I think what happened is Colin Kaepernick and his camp didn't feel like the waiver that was given to him. They had to sign. It's not like anybody else had to sign. It was given something different. And just try to share some thoughts. And I want you to call in if you got any thoughts in regards to this. And you can share your point of view. We want you to do this. Call in number is 347-857-4192. Colin Kaepernick camp said that, and his lawyer said that there was a clause put in there. And that clause was saying that if he was not, if things didn't work out, he was not going to be able to sue for workman compensation. Got to get it out and get it right. And make sure we understand that it was an indemnity clause in there. And that clause said that if he didn't get a job, he could not sue the NFL for not getting a job. And another part of that was the Atlanta Falcons included the waiver so in case he got hurt there, and that's dealing with workman comp. In case he gets hurt, then you wouldn't be able to sue the Falcons because they're using their facility. So we got a lot of, you know, discrepancy in what was said. That was led to a big drawback in regards to Stephen A. Smith on First Take and several other shows, ESPN, he's on NBA kickoff show on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. He made a statement saying because of Colin didn't show up for the workout, because what actually happened, if you hadn't been listening, let me just kind of give you the little background. It was set up to be at 3 o'clock. How about an hour before Colin Camp called and said that they wanted to move it? One of the things was dealing with the filming and the videoing of what was going on. And because the NFL said, you know, we're going to video and then we'll send you a raw copy, but we're going to do what we need to do, make sure it's clean. Colin Kaepernick wanted their own person to video. So it led to a distrust there. That was a distrust. But this thing is hit ahead. It's pretty much, now let's keep in mind that when he kneeled 2 years ago, he had it for social justice. That was for. But since then, and it got out of hand, more or less, that he's not, the owner's not allowing him to come back in the NFL. But we got to keep in mind, as mad as we may get as individuals, we got to keep in mind, when you're on a job or you're going for a job, you have to make sure, please make sure you're willing to go there and do what those people that own the job. Your employer is going to tell you pretty much what you need to do. If he's employed by the NFL, they're going to count on that. And they worked it out. They gave money to the Alliance, the football players, the line, NFL players, the line, to make sure they do social justice, do various programs, but that's still an ongoing thing because he was not in there. So he didn't want to sign the indemnity clause that was added to that waiver. So then he wanted to change the venue, which he did change it and moved it about 61 miles away from Atlanta, the Falcons facility, to Riverdale, to one of the high schools. And he had 25 owners at the Falcons there waiting, but when they found out, 8 of them did leave to go check it out, plus the reporters and everything. He did say that, made his statement about what happened and everything in regards to the NFL owners and the NFL, just Roger Goodell, they just stopped running, you know, whatever it is. But the bottom line is he did not try out for the NFL 25 team. He did have 18 that decided to travel, and most of the people, and I know some people on the line now, Riverdale from Atlanta is not like going to some area, might be 5 miles, 10 miles away, 61 miles away. And if I'm flying in from a place and I got a flight an hour to get back because that is a Saturday before we play Sunday, then I can't just go take and go up and then put back to 4 o'clock when my flight might be 5 o'clock. It's just so much was wrong with this situation. We'll disagree. It happened. Question is, will he get an opportunity to play in the NFL? At this point, as Stephen A. Smith, who got a lot of backlash from it, said, if no NFL team, this quote, ever called Colin Kaepernick again, I don't blame them. You can agree or disagree. I just shared some things to kind of help you understand what was going on. You have heard some things. You've been checking out news. And it is real. Struggle is real. And we got to keep that in mind. So we have to kind of understand that when you're dealing with situations, things are not going to be properly put in place for you, but you have to work. And I'll get some people, I've had some people give me a call and tell me, well, you don't understand. You can't tell me I don't understand. I come through a time, actually, when I went to elementary school, it was segregated. Okay? So some of you are like, what you talking about? We went into integration. And I know some things that were said one night. Even in integration, some things were said in the early years one night. So I don't hear that. You can't tell me I don't understand. You ain't been there because you may not be old enough to know exactly what happened. But what we're going through now, the struggle is real. But we got to take care of our homes and our block. Do it block by block. We have to do what we need to do in our community. Teach our young people how to. Important. How it is important is you get an opportunity, you take advantage of the opportunity. You might not like the way it's set up, but take advantage. And Collins blew that opportunity, and he may not get back in the NFL. You want to make him a martyr? You can. That's fine. You can do that. Take the fight out there. Get out there and do some programs. Because nothing has happened, no more than a lot of talk. A lot of money been made off commercials, a lot of things. But no work is being done to improve our community. We're going to have to do it. It has to come from the putting boots on the ground. That's where they come from. So this is what we're dealing with, social justice. We know it's here, it's real, it's live, and it's well. So what we have to do is make sure we work for and support what we're trying to do in our community so we can get teach our young people to strive and work hard and be successful. But I'm going to get back on the right track. Let's move to our next topic that we wanted to focus on, and that topic is College Football Playoff Committee that had its show last night at 6 o'clock. Get this week rankings right. And as you know, the top seven did not change. Not aware of the top seven. You have LSU ranked number one, Ohio State, and LSU have an 85% chance of getting to the playoff. This is just the rankings to it. Ohio State has an 84% to get to the playoff, and they're ranked number two. Clemson is ranked number three, and they got an 87% chance to get to the playoff. Number four is Georgia. They have a 9-1 record, and they have, it's sad to say, a 39% chance of getting to the playoff, because if everything holds true with LSU and Georgia, they'll play for the SEC championship. So someone's going to be put out of the picture, more so with Georgia than with LSU. But LSU can go to the championship game, lose the game, but still be in the playoff. It still can because of their resume. So that's how that's the top four. And then everybody looking in, the top six, talk about five and six. Five is the University of Alabama with a record of 9-1. We're going to talk about Tua and what happened this past Saturday. And I want you to share your thoughts. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Just press 1. I will identify with your last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to get the name, location, as well as your comments, questions, and expertise. I see my boys sitting up on Facebook, sitting up on Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to kind of move forward. We want you to share your thoughts about the top. Did they get it right? Top six, did they get it right? The only concern I probably have with the top six is that you have Oregon there. They only lost it to Auburn the first game of the season. And they Auburn came back late to win the ball, but they doubled it. Now, coming to form that Auburn and Alabama will be Auburn. So we'll kind of see how that. So you really can't flip-flop anybody right now. That's number six. Five is Alabama. Number six is Oregon. Number seven is Utah. Utah, they continue on their track, and Oregon continue on their track in the Pac-12. They're going to meet. And a lot of people believe that that one lost team coming out of the Pac-12 championship will glide over Georgia, glide over Alabama as well. Because Georgia, if Georgia loses to LSU, that's the picture. Now, it could be chaos. Alabama has to wait really on chaos to happen. And there's a good chance it could happen, because even though everybody will say Clemson can win the game, lose a game, anything can happen in a championship. Anything can happen throughout the year. You can let up, and you can. Anybody think Ohio State got an awesome one coming up Saturday? They're playing Penn State. Penn State had one loss to Minnesota, so that's going to be a barn burner right there. It's going to be awesome in that game between Ohio State. Whoever come out of that game going to have a chance to excel and kind of mud up things a little bit, because they can move closer. But Penn State, because they lost to Minnesota, that leaves Minnesota there with one loss as well. So we're going to kind of keep an eye on that and see how that's going to happen right there. All right, so you also have, moving to those teams, with Penn State at 8, Oklahoma is 9. Now, I watched Oklahoma game against Baylor this past weekend, and it was a Heisman moment for Jalen Hurts. I saw a young man wheel a team that was down by 25 points, and wheel that team to win that game on Saturday. Jalen did some things, even though he was some of the concerns and some of the reasons why, because he had three turnovers where he just put the ball on the ground on a fumble, and another one he was going in for a touchdown and fumbled it, and then he threw an interception. He was part of the problem, but he also corrected the problem. That's why I said, don't get down on the problems you're going through in life. Come up with a solution. Have a plan to succeed. Jalen made his mind, as well as that coach made their mind up. The coaches said, we're going to get out here. The team said, we're going to get out here and play. So they came back and won that game against Baylor, because Baylor was up by 25 points. So they came back, and that was a Heisman watch moment. And I look to see him at the top up there with Joe Burrow as well as several other players that might be Jerry Jeudy. A lot of other players might be up there as well. So it was awesome in regards to that game. So the committee pretty much got it correct. I just, and what I was moving toward, and I want you to share your thoughts about it as well, that Oklahoma should be ranked higher. But we have to look at the loss that Oklahoma had. Oklahoma lost to Kansas State. Kansas State was a 3-touchdown underdog to Oklahoma. And they lost 48-41. So the bottom line, if you're 3-touchdown underdog and you lose by 7, you actually lost by 4 touchdowns. So that's the situation. Once they lost that game, they're uphill battle, fighting, trying to get up and had to keep on winning, keep on, and we never know how it is. So chaos is coming. We know it's coming. We'll see how it's going to think. But it would be nice if all them teams up front in the top 3 will lose a ball game. We'll beat those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, right? Razor edge. Close, they say, so close. We'll see how they can ball. So we look to see that is a possibility that it might be 1 or 2 1-loss team in the playoffs. So we look forward to see. So they, this week they got it right. Now we'll see how it's going to be next week after this weekend coming up because there's some outstanding balls game coming up. Yeah, LSU will be playing Arkansas, and you know they fired their coach last week, and Arkansas fired their coach. So that won't, they'll handle them pretty good, and then you got to, you got Texas, Georgia at Texas A&M, or vice versa, and they're going to be playing each other. So Texas A&M got a chance to make a statement, as well as they also played LSU the last ball game. So a lot can happen in that time. So we'll look forward to see what's going to happen in regards to the college football playoff ranking that's coming up until they make the final decision for the final vote. All right, one of the questions that came out from the talking heads and pundits was, did Nick Saban make the right decision in regards to Tua Tagovailoa? Did he make the right decision by leaving in the game when he got hurt? Now, I heard people say, well, he shouldn't have played anyway. But when you're searching for style points and your players say they are healthy, your staff say he's healthy, he say he can go, you put him out there. Normally, when you have a lead of 35-7 and you got 2 minutes to go, you'll make it through the half, and then you don't put him out the third quarter. Now, I can kind of see that. I'm not going to blame even one of those. You have to blame. And everybody got a sense of, you know, responsibility here. And as a young man, he made a decision. He could play. The doctors okayed him to play. His coach okayed him to play. So he played. Had an awesome game the first half. People know the first 5 drives, he scored a touchdown. And so you can't say, but it was wrong. But it's just unfortunate he got hurt. It's going to cost him millions and millions of dollars right now because I don't think just that injury may have cost him that, but it's fragile. His lack of durability caused that because he had had, this would be his 4th surgery he had on Monday since he'd been at the University of Alabama. Now, just think about it. You know, last year, you know, the year before he had surgery on his finger, in the next year, which was last year when Jalen Hurts was there, he had ankle surgery on his left ankle. They come back this year, had the tie surgery on his right ankle, and now his hip went out on it. So the thing about it, I'm not saying it went out because when you have 500 and some pounds land on you and you're trying to break the fall with your knees, a good chance that bone, that femur will push that bone back up through that joint and snap it in half, dislocate it, and cause some vessel damage to it. So it's not something. It's football is a violent sport, and you can play the game, and you can, and if you choose not to let your young people play, your youth play the game, that's fine. But it is a game that is violent. You can get hurt in it, and when you go out there, and most of the football players I know, it doesn't even matter. They can go. I can go back to when I was young and I broke my arm playing football, and I'm still out there trying to play football with a cast on, you know, because, you know, and that was up to my muscle, and that means I couldn't move my arm for that period of time, but I was still trying to play football. It was just a mentality, and some young people still had it. Agree or disagree, you got an opportunity to share your thoughts, 347-857-4192. All right, let's move to the transfer portal. And somebody said, what are you talking about? They the NCAA offered an opportunity for a student to transfer after four games. Now, in the beginning of the year, we hadn't talked about it, but there were several schools where players would just completely play one game, so I'm sitting out. They played three games and they lost, or played two games, they didn't feel like they're going to have a winning season, they're going to sit out. Yeah, the quarterback in Houston decided to sit out the rest of the year. He's just thinking about transfer. And he can, or he can just sit out and come back because of the redshirt rule. After you play four games, you can't play redshirt, but if you just play four games, you can redshirt. So a lot of coaches are using, a lot of players are using, to move into the transfer portal. And that portal allowed them to put their name, and all the other schools can recruit them to come to the school. Here's a good example. Jalen Hurts, he put his name after he graduated. He was a grad student, but he was put in the transfer portal, and he ended up at Oklahoma. Kelly Bryant left Clemson and went out there to Missouri. And even though he was a senior, he had 1 year eligibility, but you got some players that are not feeling comfortable playing. Now, the question was, does a transfer portal hurt college football teams at the backup quarterback position? I wanted my staff to be on here and kind of share their thoughts. I know they have some awesome ideas in regards to that. I personally believe that it takes away from that opportunity because you don't have that competitive. Now, you take when Jalen Hurts came to Alabama, he beat out a player that he eventually transferred. Then Tua, so like, why would you go to Alabama when you know they got a quarterback who was a freshman of the year? The Tua came anyway. However, that's how it happened when you end up with not a more effective backup quarterback. And you end up, because they're transferred because they're not playing. They could have been recruited as one of the top players in the country, but if they're not playing, we see that situation now. You have a possibility of three quarterbacks who have transferred that could be playing in situations in the college football playoff. At least two of them. And we can go and look at that situation. You can look at Joe Burrow, where he left Ohio State and went to LSU. Then you had the young man Justin Fields, to leave Georgia and go to Ohio State. So the transfer portal do work, but it left those schools without backup quarterbacks. Right now, I can say people challenge me and argue with me all they want to, and I don't have a healthy debate, we'll call it. If Burrow went down, I can guarantee you LSU don't have a quarterback that would be up to the standard. No different than when Tua went down, that Mac Jones is not what everybody compared him to. And the same thing that may happen and could happen in Ohio State, got Justin Fields. Just don't have to back up. When they go down at this point of the year, it's tough to replace them. So the challenge, everybody saying, what is Mac Jones going to do at Alabama? What is any school would do when their starting quarterback go down? Tua went down, they were Alabama. What is it, Ohio State? And I'm not wishing this on any, because the young man at each one of these schools is doing good jobs. I'm glad they're there. However, they can go down any time. Who is the backup? Did the transfer portal hurt your school when players that transferred because they wasn't going to be able to play? And like I say, you go. Use Ohio State. You had Burroughs to leave there. Then you also had Martinez. He left and went down to South Florida. I don't think the university, but down in South Florida, Miami. So what if you go down? Who you got to back here? I think that would be something all the team had to consider. So the key to solve that problem, you really can't keep a player, but if you get a player that wants to stay, you got to get him ready. He has to be ready every week because you never know when it's going to happen to you, when you're going to lose your starting quarterback to whatever injury might be, a season-ending injury. So the Porter has created that problem where you have to make sure your backup is ready to go when it happens. So the transfer Porter is important. It gives the player a chance, an opportunity like it gave Joe Burrows, gave Justin Fields an opportunity to play, gave Jalen Hurts an opportunity to transfer and play. Jason Easton gave him an opportunity to transfer and play. However, it leaves your backup as not being the person that's affected, like you would have be a big drop off. So that's something to look at. So we'll keep our eye, because it can happen to anybody. I don't, like I said, I'm not wishing it on anybody. I'm just saying it can happen. What are those teams going to do up at the top that if it happened to? how would you respond? Your backup able to step in. An advantage, and I was, as I talked to Coach Terrain Edwards over the weekend, and one thing I did share with him, we were just talking about Tua going down for the University of Alabama. I said, I was so glad that it happened this week. Not it happened to him. I don't want to see anything happen to any player, any young man. I don't see that happen. That could affect him the rest of his life. However, if your backup now got to come in, now you've got time to spend the work with your backup. So if you do get into a meaningful game, if you get the luck of the draw and get to the belt, that backup's going to be a lot better if somebody loses their backup next week or the week after or during the semifinals. It's a lot to deal with. Now, one of the backsides about this, the other side of this, I think is the biggest concern, but you can be a part of the 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll identify you the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and actually give your name, location, and give you your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. What will happen if a team don't get into the playoffs? Something you have seen mass exit, I call. They're exiting from those teams. And what they're doing is they are, if they're not made in a major bowl, they sit it out because they're not going to hurt their draft status. So they're not playing. So a good thing, as I was talking with Coach Edwards, I was saying that if Alabama don't make it, I guarantee you, 4, 6, 7, 8, 10 of those players are not going to play in the bowl. Some people say it helps, but it does to me. It takes away from that, but that's what this early opportunity to go to the pro will allow you to do. And you can rest and sit out. The bowl games are not important. The playoff is good, getting your top 4 team, but it affects the other teams that are not in it. You're just not going to go get hurt in one of these non-meaningful bowls. You're not going to do it. The bowls don't mean anything, so why go to it? Yes, you're part of that team, but a lot of young men will think about that money. And, you take Jerry Jeudy, you know he's going to be with a second, third draft choice. You think he's going to go up there and go in a bowl that is not mean anything and affect his draft choice? And many other players going to run into the same thing. If they're not in that major playoffs bowl, that part of that series for the championship, they're not going to play. So you're going to see teams that go out there using people backups who have been playing all year, but they get them ready for next year. So that's a great opportunity as well. All right, we're going to, again, move and talk a little bit about the Heisman watch. I said Jalen Hurts' performance in that comeback against Baylor was awesome. That was a Heisman moment. They say you have to have a Heisman moment in a big game. When you're down 25 points, even though you created the 25-point deficit, you came and brought them back. You wheeled them back. I saw this young man run up against people 250-60 pounds, and they just impact like football. Vicious hits. Get up, go back, tell the team, let's go. Let's go. And they won the ball game. Came back and won 34-31. So that was outstanding. I see one of my co-hosts are joining me right now. I want to give an opportunity to let him share his thoughts in here. We have on the line. I got to give him the introduction before you come in, Coach. You know, this young man is truly one of my frat brothers and one of my best friends in this fraternity of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity and in life. He worked with the Alabama High School Athletic Association as the number 2 man in charge. He also worked 10 years ago in a Friday night football show, and they gave him the name Touchdown Tony. And he's an individual that we're real close. My frat brother of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, none other than Touchdown Tony Stallworth. How you doing, Coach Stallworth?
My brother, and all the listeners, so glad to get in here just in time to elaborate a little bit on one of my favorite 30-30 guys, being that of Jalen Hurts.
Yes, sir.
He has a story to tell. And it's obvious that every time there's some insurmountable odds when it comes to Jalen Hurts, some kind of way he rises above the odds. And you said it with a mouthful. That was so remarkable to see him rally those troops and do those small things like managing the team. Like I mentioned that on last week. he has the quality to really, really take a team to another level at any time, and he leads by example, and that's vitally important. That I'm like you now. I was more than elated to see that happen, and it couldn't happen to a better guy than Jalen Hurts.
Exactly, Coach. And you know what? I know he turned the ball over, but a lot of quarterbacks have quit. The team may quit on you, but he refused to quit. And the way, as I said earlier, I was sharing with the listener, the way he was running that ball for a quarterback, you don't see that happen. He's quite durable. Mm-hmm. Now, I know he was full of pain when he got off that field, but it's one thing about Jalen, he has his work ethic. No one can compare. I see any quarterback because after every game, everybody go home and get with their friends and relax. And he'll go in the weight room and start working out. You know, after a game,
right.
Just where he want to get better. He want to get better, and that kind of attitude propels people to go a long way in life. So I want him to be successful. I want him to be drafted where everybody didn't think he could be drafted. Because I tell everybody, watch Lamar Jackson. They say that he could be nothing but a receiver or a running back. What is he? He's leading the NFL at this point in a possibility as MVP. So we cannot put people in a box and say that's the way they're supposed to be. But, Coach, we're down about 10 or 12 minutes, and I want you to come in now and share some things about the Alabama High School Athletic Association playoff and kind of say some surprises as well as what's the schedule set up for this weekend.
Okay, we are in the quarterfinals, of course, and there are some surprises and there are some non-surprises. All of the private schools in Montgomery came up unfortunately, but however, the Flomerton St. James game was 20-19. Flomerton, T.R. Miller came in town. You know, T.R. Miller, of course, got the old Maplesville court. They beat Montgomery Academy 21-14. But I want to say this: kudos to our local private schools. For their effort. I think a game that everybody needs to keep an eye on is Coach Smith with Piedmont and Geraldine. And up north, Randolph County and Walter Weber. 2A, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm gonna carry you through some notable matchups going back in the days, 1A. Back in the days when I first came to Trenton County, it always was Brantley and Sweetwater. Oh, we have that matchup again at Sweetwater.
Oh, yeah.
Lynette got Isabella. Isabella is a team that I've been told out of Chilton County to watch. They are still undefeated. However, they went into an overtime game with Millery, still alive. Pickens County used to be 2A, now 1A, picking on Spring Garden. And, of course, back up the road in the Huntsville area, Decatur Heritage and Mars Hill Bible. Some people pick Mars Hill Bible to go all the way.
Okay.
2A. Got some people that got out of that thing last week. Real Town, still alive. BJU Black
yeah.
by 10. I like the Laverne GW Long. I was in that in the rain all night long. However, GW Long came to the surface on that one. And up north, Fife, still alive. They beat Ranburn 38-7, and Fife will take on Red Bay. And Red Bay could be a surprise. Pike Road,
okay.
Kudos to them after what, the third year? Did make it
yeah.
to the second round. Lost to Mobile Christian. And, of course, again, Walter Weber and Randall. Now, another defending champion, USM Wright, still alive. They take on a hometown, Montgomery Catholic. And, of course, that game would be in Mobile. Annalusa is still alive. And if Annalusa wins, they came out of the same region with USM Wright. That would be a rematch. Both teams at home. Up north, Dessler and Anniston. 5A. I tell you who you got to watch, Fred, and listeners, is Ramsey High School.
Okay.
Ramsey High School is still in. They beat Valley 41-7. They take on Pleasant Grove, and Ramsey basketball team without the football players is undefeated as well. Mortimer Jordan up top. Take on Center Point. And, of course, Madison County takes on Central Clay. Surprisingly, Mark Carlson, still alive. Kudos to Coach Ham. He's been all the way around the world and came back home. He got it done when nobody else could get it done. He got his hands full this round, but that's what they say every round. He takes on down in Mobile Spanish Fort. And, of course, Opa-locka's still alive. They got Hueytown and up north, Pinson Valley and Muscle Shores. 7A, defending state champion Central Mini City, beat Prepper. Kudos to Prepper, 24-6, had a good season. But here's a surprise. Auburn beat McGill-Tulin 28-0. And Central Mini and Auburn will play at Central. And James Clement did battle in overtime, came up short. But if you're going to come up short against anybody, and it's Hoover, you had a good season. Hoover won in 23-20. And, of course, we got a rematch now because Hoover will take on Thompson, which Thompson has already had an edge in that battle. There you go. High school football game going into the semifinals. Get ready. It's going to be jam-packed and thrills at Auburn again this year. High school football at its best.
Okay. All right, Coach, just one correct. They should be going to Alabama this year, University of Alabama, because Auburn played Alabama over there, right?
No, what happened was they were having some facility issues going on during the contract time, so they weren't sure that they would have those issues fixed, so Auburn took it for 2 years in a row.
Okay, so Auburn had it 2 years in a row. And what they do, they rotate from two points of the major universities, and since they had a situation with the contract, they made sure they had a play, so they're back at Auburn this year, so that's still a good 60 miles from Montgomery. And however you want to look at it, 60 miles from Atlanta, 70 miles from Atlanta, so 80 miles. So it's awesome. It's awesome. Coach Stallworth, we appreciate you bringing that expertise through the High School Athletic Association. And they have another version on next week because we're going to have our numbers knocked down a little bit more. We'll be to semifinals, if I'm not correct, in the 1A through 6A. And then you'll have the finals in the 7A. It'll take a week off. Then the next week, everybody will be playing for the championship, correct?
That's correct.
All right, awesome, awesome. Thank you, Coach, so much. And, you know, we appreciate you joining us and everything. And I want you to say something before we leave. But I got to give a shout-out to all these people that have been on Facebook as well as on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to give them a holler. We had on here listening, we had Krista Porter, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, was on here listening, and she went over to on the line on Facebook to check it out. We do appreciate it. Her for joining us out of Columbus, Ohio. We also have Dr. O checking us out of Atlanta, surrounding areas of Atlanta. Thank you, Dr. O. Then we have Tremaine Edwards' mother, Ms. Jennifer Edwards. She's joining us as well on the Blog Talk Radio. Then we also have several other people joining us and some numbers I can't recognize, but they're there. We appreciate you joining us on Blog Talk Radio. We also have Facebook, Coach. We got a bunch of individuals. We appreciate you. All you joining us and watching, listening is outstanding, but I want to give you the shout out right quick. We have Monique Jackson Brown joining us. We have Shay Bradshaw joining us. Sherry Jeffries. We also have Money Love. Is that Michelle? Then we have Yvette Smith, my sister, biological sister. Thank you. Then one of my former players from McKenzie, he's a pastor down in Evergreen. That's Preacher Man, preaching in for him, and that's Michael Clemens. He had a birthday the other day. He turned 50. Happy birthday, belated birthday, Mike. Thank you for joining us. That's from McKenzie down there. Ian Johnson, thank you so much. Nancy R. Wilson, Lisa Marie Smith Sherrod, my cousin, Coretta Barlow. Thank you, Coretta. Carol Davis, good friend. Thank you, Carol. Jennifer Edwards, I mentioned her on blogs, and she also on Facebook. And she's the mother of Tremaine Edwards, who's sick tonight. Coach, that's why he's not on here. Kimberly. Okay, Alford, he's sick, and he appreciate you, Kimberly, for joining us. Danielle Gregory. Jamela, is it Shiggy's? I'm going to get it right. Jamel, give me a holler and make sure I get that name right, because you're joining. I want to be wrong. She a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I don't want to get you wrong, Jamela. Thank you so much. Jennifer Ayrton. Thank you, Jennifer, so much. Good friend. Thank you, Jennifer. On Facebook, Tiffany Davis, and that's 29 plus 4. Hey, Tiffany, how you doing? The God niece right there. To Latrice Jackson, thank you for joining. Faye Treadwell Smith, and you know that name, don't you, Stalwart? Tony Stalwart?
Yes, I do.
You know that
yes,
name?
I do.
Thank you, Treadwell. Faye Treadwell, thank you for joining us. Kalisa Broaden, join us. Thank you as well. Gwendolyn McCray. All right, Paula Fabiani. I'm going to get it right. Help me out, Paula. We're going to talk. Make sure you contact and I get it right. Kimberly Overtree. Kimberly. Thank you so much, Kimberly. She actually came to a birthday party that we had. Thank you, Kimberly, so much. She's a good friend of Joy. And Joy, as you know, is always the eternally listening to our show. And we thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining. Linda Provick. Thank you so much for joining us. Angela Shavers. Thank you, Angela. Katrina Feather. Now, Katrina here in Montgomery, right down there at Walmart on Atlanta Highway. Katrina working hard down there. Thank you, Katrina. Tracy Heard Kendrick. Thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us. One time was down at the Village Place, and she's now making sure she makes things happen. And last but not least, Tasina. Oh, I have another one joining. So if you want to hear this one, I'm going to call after the person I give a shout. Tasima Sunshine Jackson is joining us. And then we have Marvin Lala Smith. You know that dude, right?
Marvin, what are you doing now?
Yes, sir. It's awesome. See, we're having fun. It's all about, but we're about to close this thing out. Thank you for each and every one of you joining us. We had an awesome night. The format was long. Tomorrow night, we have our Minister Shannon show, hosted about Minister Shannon Hendrick, as well as Elder Kendall McKnight, and they'll be just talking about plain old life issues, daily today's issues, and they're gonna focus on some things dealing with relationships tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's the Minister Shannon show. Then we'll come back on Monday. We won't have our Talking Real to You, but we're going to have the Dr. Lowe show. I have a guest that's going to be a special guest going to be coming on, author Nicole Sharon Brown. And that'll be at 7 o'clock. And make sure, and I may have said 8 o'clock, but I'm going to make sure we get that change. 7 o'clock on Monday night, and we'll check that out. That's what we have for you. We look good. Next week is Thanksgiving. We want you to have an awesome weekend as well as a Thanksgiving holiday coming up, and we're going to broadcast on Monday of last week, next week, and we won't have any other show until we get back after the holiday post-work. So we're going to take advantage of next week. So when we come back the following week, we're going to have to close to the finals. We will be in the finals week in high school athletics. So we'll talk hard about anything you want to share about that, Coach, in regards to closing the show out the best way you see fit.
Just wish everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Please be mindful what Thanksgiving is. It's all about giving, not receiving. Those that give of necessity and not grudgingness will be blessed by the Lord. Just my words of encouragement for you. As always, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome, Coach. I tell you, that's something to live by, and we can move forward. And my hashtag is keep on grinding, and I always tell you that. It don't matter what's going on, grind it out, make it do what it do, and just keep at it. That's your hashtag, and that should be your hashtag. Keep on grinding. My next hashtag is communicate for understanding. On the Dr. Lowe show, one of the major things about a relationship is communication. You have to be able to communicate with one another and share your thoughts and be able to listen and to hear what they have to say, and that's what it's all about. And last but not least, as I search for that music to close this situation out, and, you know, I stroll down sometimes, don't get to where I need to go, just give me a minute. But I do want to make sure you come back after after Thanksgiving. We'll be bringing in our Monday show, which is December 2nd. We're going to have Lisa Levine back again, talking about what's going on in regards to how they are helping individuals mental health-wise down in South Florida, as well as coming to your neighborhood. So as we close it out, and I always tell you, it's just like, you know, we take one day at a time. But I want to let you know, I love you, and there's a thing you can do about it, and we're going to close this out with an old town. Old town.
Take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the bag, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your horse. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that forest. Now can't nobody tell me.